Live from our XM Performance Theater, it's Happy the Man on Fine Tuning Channel 76.
Something called steaming pipes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. That was a song called Open Book off of the Crafty Hands album. Now we're going to play the title track off our new CD, Muse Awakens. Thank you. Thank you. One Dave wrote called Contemporary Insanity. Wind up Dal de Wind.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
This is another piece from one of the earlier albums. This was written about a little cartoon character, as many of our songs are. A little creature who could defy gravity, walk sideways up the sides of mountains, etc. And his greatest ambition was to become human. We named him Ibby, and this tune is called Ibby It Is. Thank you.
Another one off the new album, something that shows off Giuseppe back there. A song called Barking Spiders. Awakens album, one of Frank's tunes, Il Quinto Mare.
Thank you.
Back before there was XM radio, this was our big top 40 AM hit. A song called Nibet Nymphs in Limbo. Yeah.
Okay.
XM76, and I got to tell you, we have some great special guests here today. We have Frank Wyatt and Stanley Whitaker of Happy the Man. And I'll tell you something, welcome in to XM Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. How do you like XM? You got a little tour?
Man, beautiful.
I finally made it to the bridge of the Enterprise.
Yeah, gorgeous place.
Nice place. Same thing for me with you guys. I've been around listening to your music for years, and before we go on with some new stuff that sounds incredible, could you tell me a little bit about the first start of Happy the Man?
Yeah, I guess originally it started in 1972. And I was going to high school over in Germany, which is where I was exposed to Gentle Giant and King Crimson and Yes, early Genesis. And I guess I moved over there in 69, and I graduated high school in 72. Met Rick Kennel, who became our bass player. He was a GI in the Army. And I had a group called Shady Grove that was touring all the Army bases. And Rick just came out, and we met him, and he sat up, and we played The Knife by Genesis. And it was like, wow, this guy knows some cool stuff. So we just kept in touch, and that he had another year left in the Army. I came back to Madison College in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which is where I met Frank and Kit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of the origins of it. And then when Rick got out of the Army, he came back and had a drummer, Mike Beck, who was also from Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is where Rick was from. And the two of them came out to Madison College and hooked up with me and Frank and Kit, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
that was pretty much the beginning of it all.
Were all your passions of the progressive genre?
Yeah, we all had a great love of classical music, and I would say as equal to the love that we all had of classical, we also loved King Crimson and Gentle Giant and early Genesis. And yes, that was Van de Graaff Generator.
Oh, yeah.
Those were some of our first real heavy influences.
Wow.
See, at that time, I had never heard of any of these British bands. I was there for the jazz ensemble, you know, freshman going to James Madison University. Actually, it was Madison College then. It wasn't James Madison University yet.
Yeah.
So I was in a theory class. Dr. George West was the theory instructor, and he's given some intervals. This is like the first day, and he plays some intervals, and he does something. I hear this guy say, "Hey, I know that one. It's a dominant seven. Hendrix does that." You know, and I looked, and it was Stan. And so I said, "I got to meet this guy." So we hooked up and immediately arranged to throw out his roommate, and I moved in with him. And he's the one who turned me on to all these bands from England and Europe, because I had no idea. And as soon as I started hearing this music, I was like, well, I know what I want to be when I grow up now.
Right. The first inkling of that kind of music, I know it set me off in terms of how I got started with my college years, listening to those early Genesis groups and everything like that. Vangelis.
Mm-hmm.
Those things.
Sure.
A group, I believe, was Refugee with Patrick Moraz. That's even before when he joined Yes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of a three-man Emerson, the Nice type group back then. Yeah, those are interesting. The funny thing about Happy the Man is, actually, today, I was on the train, and I came here. I was reading, for some reason, I was reading the Old Testament, and I kind of delved into, I finger-pointed at the book of Sirach. Chapter 14, verse 1, it started saying, "With happy the man whose mouth brings him no grief." That sounds like an instrumental band.
That's a good one.
does that sound like, how did you get the man, happy the man anyway?
My older brother, Ken, came up with the name.
He did?
And he got it from the Bible and from Faust. Goethe's Faust. There's some quotes in there about happy is the man.
Yeah.
And,
two verses. It didn't say happy is the man. It said happy the man. I said, that's it.
That's
these guys are, that's cool.
Serendipity there.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Right. I know that the history of Happy the Man was good and bad at the same time, you know, over the years, right?
Yeah.
You had high quality music.
Our timing just wasn't the greatest. You know, we were trying to play very progressive, sophisticated music in a country that was, inundated with disco.
Right.
And I think our timing just wasn't the best.
Yeah, Arista put a few more bucks behind Barry Manilow than they did us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, across the pond, those were glowing years for progressive. You know, is that something that you thought maybe we can like get it into American, the American world?
We hoped at that time, to get it, you know, to wake up some people, to show them that there was a little bit more out there than what they were hearing on the radio, and we were all very young, very naive, I think, when we got signed, and just assumed, like a lot of people back then, when you had a major record deal, the rest just fell right into place. And had we had our wits about us a little more, we probably would have tried to expand into Europe a little more, because we knew that that was really where our audience was, but had no inkling how to get over there, or to get the records even over there. So...
And really, other than bands that were not necessarily progressive, did find themselves in America. I mean, the early years for some of these bands, like Kansas, Styx, in a sense, but Kansas was a big, for me, the first two albums were very progressive.
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else. But so,
very much so.
Yeah, the vocal aspect makes it a lot more accessible for American audiences, it seems, too. Uh-huh. Well, for any audience, actually. We're hearing a lot of that. All the time. How come you don't have more vocals? You need more vocals. Mm. And we're going to have more vocals.
I can sing a little better now than I did 25, 30 years ago, so there will be more vocals.
So here they are.